That's one of my favorite videos. They are very clever and creative in putting that together. I know I've shared it before. It's probably been two or three years. Some of you, I know this is the first time to see it. But it is important to share your church with others. And we're going to talk about today. I want to begin by reading from our text, Luke 14. Luke 14, beginning with verse 12. Thank you, worship team. Great job today. Beautiful job. Appreciate that. And great job on the special. They snuck out, but they sang in early service too. So they didn't want to sit through the sermon twice, and that's okay. I gave them permission. They can sneak out. So. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. One of those who reclined at table with him heard these things. He said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at that time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Jesus, who came to rescue us, to save us from our sins. We're thankful for the lessons that have been handed down generation to generation in this book, your word, the Bible, truth that has passed the test of time, is relevant today as much as it was when it was written. So speak to us today as we open your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mercedes-Benz had an engineer who was relentless in creating the safest vehicle inside and out and making changes wherever changes could be made to protect the driver and the passengers. And one of the items that they came up with were crumple zones. These crumple zones were spread throughout the vehicle to absorb collisions. And years ago, there was a commercial by Mercedes-Benz, and it showed the car going down the test track and running into a concrete barrier. And the spokesman was asked about these impact zones that were created and explained them. And then the question was asked, well, why don't you enforce the patent that you have on these crumple zones? For manufacturers all over the world have taken this same concept and built it into their cars. And the spokesman for Mercedes-Benz said, some things are too important not to share. Some things are just too important not to share. And the Lord's church, salvation through Christ, It's too important not to share. Now, one of you had news that you couldn't wait to share. You can talk to Phil and Martha after the service, and they'll gladly tell you about their new grandson. When there's a new baby in the family, you can't help but want to share it with others. Maybe you got a new truck and you couldn't wait to share it with your buddies. You buy that house, that first house, and you can't wait to have company over so they can see your house. There are things that we love to share and we can't wait to share, but there are some things that are just too important not to share. We invite people to events where often there's food. We invite people to a wedding reception. We invite people to a wedding shower, a baby shower, a high school reunion, a family reunion. We invite people to all kinds of events where there is food involved. Well, today I want to make sure that you know that you are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the greatest supper of all. A supper that you don't want to miss. Now, I grew up in a time where we were outside. We were outside playing. We didn't sit on our couches playing video games. We didn't really have video games. Eventually, Pong came along. We moved this line up and down and bounced a little ball across the screen. But we were outside, and Mom would yell, "It's supper time." We didn't want to miss supper. Well, this is a supper that I want to make sure you are invited to and you don't miss. I want to read from Revelation 19. Listen to this supper. "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of mighty waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Alleluia! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has been made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God. If you are in Christ, you are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" Now keep in mind that this banquet is the backdrop of Jesus' ministry. The whole purpose in Jesus coming was to put out the invitation. It was for Him to court His church, His bride. It was for preparation, to prepare His bride for the wedding, where all of creation is made complete on that final day. There's going to come a day when the Father is going to look to His Son and say, "It's time to go claim your bride, the church." And He is going to descend with a shout of trumpets, not as a vulnerable infant, but in power as a king. And He's going to come to claim His bride. And His bride will be taken to spend eternity with Him. And there's going to be a great feast. This is the backdrop of His ministry. The whole purpose that He came to invite, to prepare, to claim His bride. In Matthew 22:2, He records this backdrop in this way: "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." That the Heavenly Father is the king. The groom is Jesus. Now in our text today, Jesus, if we back up a little bit, He is at a Sabbath day feast with the religious elite. Pharisees are there, and they're watching Him very closely. And Jesus, realizing they're watching, He gets up and He goes out of their way, takes someone aside to heal them. But they don't miss this. They're watching very carefully, when Jesus went to heal him, it wasn't for the purpose of, look at me. He took him aside. But they watched. And they confronted him about healing on the Sabbath. Well, if you had a son or daughter that was in trouble, or an ox that fell into the ditch, you would help them out, even on the Sabbath. And he confronts them that here they're at this banquet, and he starts from the context of this banquet to lead them to the wedding banquet of the Lamb. But he starts there and says, look at your banquet. You invite those who are wealthy, those who are the elites in the community, and you give them fine seats next to you. For you see, you enforce the laws to benefit you, and you are inviting those who will benefit you. Let me tell you about the kingdom of God. In this kingdom, you go and you serve those who are blind and crippled and lame, the poor. And you invite them in and you take care of them in this kingdom. There are really two parts to Jesus' teaching to them. He starts with their banquet and then he moves on to, there's a man who's throwing a banquet. And he is inviting the community to come in. But many will make excuses. They'll have excuses. The invite is going out. And the servants who are going out to invite represents you and me. That we are the servants in his family. And we're to go out to make invitations, but many will make excuses. We read about those in our text today. One that says, I've bought a field and I've got to go see it. We're good at making excuses. We live in a world where people make excuses. Here are some great excuses that the Metropolitan Insurance Company has published. I mean, these are actual reasons that people have given for an auto accident. An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car and vanished. The pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. I'd been driving for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had the accident. I mean, that's a long time to drive without sleep. The indirect cause was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. The other driver was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. So, I have to be careful with that when my mother-in-law's here. So. But we're good at making excuses. And he is sharing Jesus in his story. Says one says, I've bought some land, so I need to go take care of that. I need to go see this land. That's more important. Another one says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to tend to them and I need to check this out, and so I won't make it to the banquet. Another one said, I just got married. And so I've got to take care of my wife, and we've got our honeymoon, and I just don't have time for the banquet. Excuse after excuse. Now here are actual excuses people give for not accepting an invitation to church. Well, Sunday is my only day to sleep in. I have to work on Sundays, and that's a legitimate concern. And so I'm thankful for the nurses that are working at the hospital and any doctors that are working at the hospital this morning. So I know that can be legitimate, but sometimes you can adjust your schedule. People judge me. I don't have the right clothes to wear. I don't need church to be a believer. I can worship anywhere. I don't get anything out of it. All the songs they sing are old. People aren't very friendly. I've been feeling discouraged lately, and I just want to be alone. Now we have the responsibility to invite. And there'll be excuses. There'll be some that will reject. However, those we invite, even though they have an excuse, don't stop asking. Jesus in the parable said, well, then go out and get the lame and the poor. Well, we did that and there's still room. Then he said, well, go out and keep inviting until it's full. Now, from time to time, we hear statistics about how people come to be a part of a church. This is from the Institute for American Church Growth. They asked 10,000 people, how is it that you became a part of your church? Well, 2% said, well, there was a special need in our family, and we turned to the church. And we have people who have come here because of a special situation or tragedy in their life. And 3% say they just walked in, and we've had several even here lately come in just because they drive by and say, well, we wanted to try to check this church out. 6% say we come to the church for the preacher, or the specific preacher. 1% say because somebody visited my house. There was a visitation program. Somebody knocked on our door and invited. That's 1%. 5% because of a Sunday school program. 5% because of an evangelistic crusade. 3% because of a program, trunk or treat, or a concert at a church, something that was taking place that participated in. But the greatest number, as was mentioned in that video, it said 80%. Well, they came up with 79% because a friend or a relative invited. So the greatest asset, the greatest tool, is you. You inviting someone is the greatest way to see somebody come to Christ. Now, what does inviting people to church have to do with inviting them to the wedding feast of the Lamb? Well, this is God's idea, the church. The church is His idea. And when we look at the early church in Acts 2, we find that they loved each other. And they cared for each other. In fact, when we look at the early church in Acts 2, they sold their land. They sold their possessions. They were paying off each other's debts. They were making sure everybody had a place to live. They were making sure everybody had food. They were making sure everybody had clothes, everything they needed. They were so in love with Christ and in taking care of each other that they gave up all they had. We'll give what we need to help each other. And that love and concern for each other became so contagious that the people around them said, well, I want to be a part of that. That's spectacular. That's incredible. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved because of the influence they were having just by taking care of each other and inviting people into family. Now, we are all gifted differently. We talked about that in the last couple weeks, that God knitted you together in your mother's womb, then we're all different. And you have a different gift, and you have a different ability. And God created you to bring Him glory. He created you to serve in His family for the purpose of building up the church. Specifically, we are the body of Christ. Every one of us, different gifts. And that's why it says in Scripture, it teaches us that the ear can't say to the eye, well, since I'm not an eye, I'm not as important. Or since I'm not the mouth, I'm not as significant. Every part of the body is significant, even the pinky toe. You may think, well, what does that have to... Well, the pinky toe, have you ever stubbed that little toe on your foot? And then you realize how important that toe is, or maybe you've lost that toe and... Wow, I really have to work on my balance a little more. Every part is significant. And we don't all necessarily have the gift for personal evangelism. We're not all gifted with the gift of evangelism. But we can all invite. And the church working together, everyone doing their part, works together to invite the community to the wedding banquet. 1 Corinthians 1, 20-21 says, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Now, I'm not the wisest person for sure. I'm not a great philosopher. And you might agree that there's been a lot of foolishness preached from this preacher. But one thing for sure, I will do my part to share the greatest news that we have ever been given. That we're sinners. All of us. We have all been separated from God. We're all in the same boat. And everyone in our community is in the same boat. They are lost without Christ. They are sinners. But He who knew no sin became sin on the cross so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so God offers you and me a wonderful trade. Our sins for His righteousness. And we are to confess Jesus as Lord. That I believe You are the Son of God. You are the Christ. And we want to call Him, call on His name. That's our part. That's our work. And you say, but we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith, not by works. Yes. Because we confess Jesus as Lord, it's not the fact that we confess Him that we are saved. It's the faith that moves us to confess Jesus as Lord. And that's our work. If you want to call it a work, confessing Jesus as Lord is a work. It's something we do. But it's by faith. And it's not the work, it's the faith through which God saves us. And then the most passive act of all is when we are buried with Christ in baptism. It doesn't say, Peter didn't say repent and go baptize. He said repent and be baptized. Now you might hold your nose. That would be a work on your part. But it's the most passive part in that we just sit back and let somebody else baptize us. And we are lowered into that watery grave. And God is the one who does all the work. God is the one who takes every sin and He places them on Jesus. He is the one who marks us with the Holy Spirit as a sign that we belong to Him. As a guarantee of what is to come, that's God's work. And according to Romans 6, then we are raised as a new person, raised into new life. He does all the work. He accomplished everything on the cross. Now it's up to us to do our part, to invite. This is a true story. A preacher in his church was sharing. He was sharing about an attorney in his church that had 17 clients who had overdue bills that were more than 6 months old. And this attorney was studying Scripture, and he decided that he was going to send out 17 letters to these 17 clients. They were certified, sent by certified mail, so they'd have to be signed. And they were letters explaining the debt that was owed, shared with them Scripture that convicted him, and then deemed that their debt would be paid in full if they signed that contract, accepting that their debt would be paid in full. One by one, 16 of those letters came back unsigned. That the clients, they didn't want to sign that letter from their attorney. They assumed they were being sued for payment that hadn't been made. They didn't want to sign it. They didn't want to open it. They avoided it. When all along, He wanted to clear their debt. And that's what the Heavenly Father has done for the whole world. That He loves us so much that He paid the debt on the cross that every one of us owe. And there are so many in our community don't even know that. Now there are a lot who have heard. There are a lot who know that, but they just haven't signed the contract, if you will. They haven't opened the gift. They've turned it away. So for you today, it might be your responsibility and my responsibility to invite. Or it may be your responsibility today to open the gift that's been offered for you and have every debt paid in full. Heavenly Father, what a great gift. You paid a debt that we couldn't possibly pay back. A debt you didn't owe, but you paid it for us. And we thank you that now, as your sons and daughters, we are a part of your family forever. That we have a seat at the wedding feast of the Lamb. That on that day, all of creation and all that you have accomplished through the cross will culminate in the wedding feast. When the bride and groom come together for eternity. Father, thank you for that great invitation. It's too important not to share. And it's too important not to open. So I pray today that you would move us. And that if there's 1, 2, 3 or more today that still need to open that gift, that you would give them the courage to step out and proclaim Jesus as Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.